Happy Friday night. Thanks for joining us, everybody. This is Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports, AM 1550 KDCO, 94.1 FM in Denver, 96.9 in Boulder. I am Joel Cantalamessa. I'm excited about our show tonight. We have got Pierce Horning, the former CSU star forward from 2009 to 2013. He'll be here to talk a lot of hoops. We'll talk about his career. We'll talk about that terrific senior class that he played for that really sparked the turnaround of this basketball program at Colorado State University, one of the winningest senior classes in history, made two NCAA tournament appearances, and really took the team from the bottom of the barrel to where it is now. He got a chance to play under Coach Tim Miles and Larry Eustace. We'll talk to him about that experience, as well as his thoughts on where this team is going, what they can do this year, and much, much more. So that's going to be a great conversation. Let's start with a rundown of what's happening at Colorado State. The most recent announcement that came out was Thursday, saying that CSU is ranked among the top performing athletic programs for the first half of the 2014-15 academic year in the Learfield Sports Directors Cup Fall Standings. CSU got 144 points, which ranks second among Mountain West institutions and 35th overall. Consider that. That is an amazing stat right there. It's an amazing feat. 35th overall out of all Division I schools. CSU trails only New Mexico, who had 146.5 points in the Mountain West Conference, and owns the third highest ranking for FBS non-Power 5 institutions. So obviously behind New Mexico, and UConn led all non-Power 5 schools with 150. The fall point total is the second most in CSU history. The Rams earned 157 points and a 14th place finish in the 2000-2001 fall standings. Eight sports are taken into account in these standings. CSU participates in five of those and scored in three of them. The Rams scored 64 points for advancing to the NCAA Volleyball Regional Semifinals, 55 points for men's cross country. They finished 19th at the NCAA Championships, and then 25 points for the football team earning a bowl game berth. So looking at schools that compete in five sports or fewer, CSU ranks 15th nationally, including first in the Mountain West and first among FBS non-Power 5 institutions. So, and it just goes to show you what is going on at Colorado State University, because it wasn't so long ago that Colorado State University was toiling near the bottom in those rankings. It was the first time in school history that football, men's basketball, volleyball, and men's cross-country teams were all ranked during the same academic year. Pretty neat stuff. I mean, that was an eye-opener. It was pretty cool to see CSU listed so highly. Football staff will now be hitting the road as of this week. The no-contact period ended for the recruiting process. It is going to be crunch time for Coach Bobo and staff. He just finalized his staff last week, and they have got all of their recruiting territories outlined. They will hit the road and try to secure the remaining verbal commitments. CSU only has 15 scholarship spots, presumably, to give this year. And the verbal commitments that we know of include Salofi Gayoa. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but he's an offensive lineman from Rocky Mountain High School right here in Fort Collins. O'Shea Jackson, a defensive tackle from Arlington, Texas. B.C. Johnson, he's listed as an athlete out of Bear Creek High School in Lakewood. He's apparently got tremendous speed. Isaiah Matthews is also listed as an athlete. He's from Redding, California. He is a three-star athlete, according to Rivals.com. Deshaun Mays, linebacker from Glendale Community College in Glendale, Arizona. He's a three-star prospect, according to Rivals. Justin Nunez, a defensive tackle from Red Bluff, California. He's a monster, 6'5", 320. That's pretty big coming out of high school. And J.C. Robles is a quarterback out of Visalia, California at El Diamante High School. 6'5", 215, two-star quarterback according to Rivals. So they are the known verbal commitments. Colby Meeks signed a letter of intent a while back. He's from Dr. Phillips in Orlando, Florida. So right there are eight known commitments. So you've got approximately seven spots that we don't know of yet that the coaching staff will be scrambling to fill prior to the first Wednesday in February for signing day. We're going to see how good Mike Bobo and some of these guys on his staff, like Tyson Summers, and Will Friend are supposed to be at recruiting. That was one of their qualities, so to speak, as they come in here to Colorado State. And immediately we're seeing some big, highly recruited athletes supposedly coming in for visits. There was a rumor on Twitter on Thursday that a five-star athlete from Georgia, Terry Godwin, he's already committed to Georgia, but is high on Mike Bobo. Apparently, he is going to make a visit to Colorado State. Now, don't get too excited. He's also said that he's going to go through the recruiting process so that he can enjoy the recruiting process, and says he's still 100% committed to Georgia. But getting these guys on the radar and just getting these guys to consider a visit to Colorado State shows the respect that some of these players have for Mike Bobo and the liking that they've taken towards him. Can he land a big recruit or two this year? It's probably unlikely, because at this stage, those kind of players are already committed, and it's going to be hard to get them to flop late in the game and come to Colorado State. But I think over the next year or two, as he develops those relationships, I think we're going to see him nab some pretty high-quality players. Now, let's not get all caught up in the star rating system. I think it's more important, as we've seen in the past with Sonny Lubick, to get the right guys, the guys that come in here that may not come in with high regard in these big fancy star rankings, but they come in and they're great athletes that this coaching staff, who is very high regarded in its own right, can coach them up and make them into players at Colorado State University that can contribute. And right now, with this small class, we're just going to see some patchwork done. And hopefully, by all accounts, they've been able to keep all of the existing verbal commitments on board. And as long as they can avoid losing some guys late, keep the existing base in place, and go fill out the rest with some quality athletes, then that's about as much as you can ask for when you've got a staff that comes in here with only a few weeks to seal up the recruiting class. Next year and the year after is where you're really going to see the benefits of this coaching staff, who is so well regarded as a recruiting machine. Basketball is in full swing right now. Conference play is underway. Colorado State got off to a rough start, as you all know. We talked about that at length last week, but got on track with a great performance at Air Force. Played about as good of a first half as you could possibly play, and then kind of melted down in the second half. Air Force was shooting lights out, making every three-pointer that they took. J.J. Avila got into a scuffle, didn't like the way that Zach Coker held onto his arm as they fell to the ground. J.J. puts Zach into a headlock, and meanwhile, Air Force guard Max Mooney tries to come to his defense and punches J.J. with a cheap shot right in the back. J.J. took great exception to that, stood up, went after Mooney, kind of palmed his face. And it was a little bit of mayhem from there on. You had a couple guys come off the bench. Dantiel Daniels got a technical. So it was an ugly scene. J.J. Ended up getting suspended. Even though he was not kicked out of the game, he received a suspension for a game. Air Force's Matt Mooney was kicked out of the game and received a one-game suspension. And that was a very heated battle. What you saw is potentially J.J. Avila's roots from Navy kind of kicking in there. The Air Force players were trying to take him out of the game mentally, trying to rough him up a little bit. His tensions finally boiled over and just couldn't take it anymore. To watch J.J., who seems mild-mannered for the most part, really get so upset in that game really spoke volumes of what that meant to him. And so that was down at that game in Colorado Springs, and I got to say that was a fun game to watch. But there, my opinion of Air Force fans, I've always liked Air Force. A lot of people don't. You know, obviously they're a rival, but I've always looked at Air Force. They're the guys that are going to defend our country. You know, they're always do more with less as far as size and speed go, but they hang with you with toughness and heart. So I really like that about Air Force. But man, I ran into some ugly fans. They're cadets. I give them credit for being loud and obnoxious at the end of the game, but man, they can get pretty nasty with other fans and with the CSU bench and Coach Eustace. It's kind of a running thing. I think Eustace actually feeds off of it. But it is interesting to see that these guys, these distinguished scholars and student athletes acting like that at Clune Arena. But more disturbing to me was as I was walking out of the arena with my kids and my wife, a woman is probably 65 years old or so with her son was walking out. And she goes, "Yeah, you guys must be real proud to have a guy on your team, JJ Avila, who can't even hack it at the Navy and gets kicked out of the Navy and just wants to start fights down here." As you're trying to walk out and you're enjoying a game and there was just sour grapes, it was really surprising to me because I haven't experienced a whole lot of that from Air Force fans before, but in recent years, I'm starting to see more and more of it. I saw a little bit of it at the football game, so that was interesting. After the Air Force game, CSU then hosts Nevada Wednesday night without your best player, JJ, who has to sit out for a suspension. And what a game. The best performance by Colorado State in years. They beat Nevada 98-42. It was a 56-point blowout victory, which is the largest margin of victory in Mountain West history. That's incredible. That's 15 seasons worth of basketball in the Mountain West, and that is the biggest win in history. And it was the second largest margin of victory in Colorado State basketball history, which spans over 100 years. And when you think to all of the games that CSU has played and games against some really bad programs, Simon Fraser comes to mind back in the day, a 56-point blowout comes against a conference opponent, a Division I conference rival who just a few years ago was pretty darn good, had a pretty good program in place. Colorado State now is around the 27 mark in the RPI. They sit at 16-2. Obviously, it's very early, but it's fun to look at the brackets as they are updated every week. ESPN bracketologist Joe Lunardi has the Rams as a number 10 seed in his latest updated bracket. He has them facing number 7 seed Stanford in Omaha, which would be a really fun matchup. It's a nice location. It's drivable for fans. I'd take that in a heartbeat. Although, if the Rams continue to play well this year at 16-2 right now, I'm not sure that a 10 seed does them justice. There's a lot of work to be done. So we'll see how that goes. But I think the two losses have really affected the public and the prognosticators opinion of this program right now and the validity of their record. You know, those two losses in conference made them plummet from the polls, and now you're seeing them fall out of the brackets because in the CBS sports bracket, which is run by Jerry Palm, only has two Mountain West teams in, and CSU is not one of them. He's got San Diego State as a 9 seed and Wyoming as a 10 seed. And that came out before Wyoming's loss at home against San Diego State a couple of nights ago. Next up for CSU is a road trip to the West Coast. They'll play San Jose State tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific time. So that's going to be 8 p.m. here on the Mountain West Network. Hopefully they can get that thing working because it wasn't working real well the other night for the Nevada game. Then there's a big home game against San Diego State the following Saturday. So CSU's got a week off in between those games. So it's a week off to prepare for the Aztecs, which play a suffocating defense. So CSU's going to have to get better. They're going to have to keep San Diego State off the boards and keep San Diego State at bay offensively, which a lot of teams have been able to do. And then on the other end, they're going to have to find a way to be able to score against San Diego State, who really does not allow teams to score at will. But that game's going to be at Moby Arena at an 8 p.m. tip-off. The telecast is yet to be decided, but it's supposed to be on ESPNU or online on ESPN3. So there's going to be a lot to follow with Colorado State University over the coming couple of months. Signing day is February 4th. That's the first Wednesday in February. As always, you've got Colorado State basketball, which is starting to get back to playing some good ball. We'll see how they fare down the stretch leading into the conference tournament. And of course, you've got spring football starting up in March as well. So a lot of good things to talk about here over the coming months. We look forward to having you with us. When we come back from break, we'll welcome in Pierce Hornung. We'll talk a lot of college hoops. Stick with us. You're listening to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports.